Hi, this is Jessica Marpey. Welcome to this live event. Thank you for taking time this evening to join us on this telephone town hall. Before I introduce State Senator Anthony H. Williams, we are still waiting for some more neighbors to join us on this call. We have a very informative hour ahead of us. We will be joined by Carol Cunaholm from Fair Districts PA and Philly City Commissioner Omar Sabir. They, along with Senator Williams, will update everyone on the recent changes to Act 77, the Voting Rights Act of Pennsylvania. If you have any questions for the senator or any of his guests, please press zero on your keypad. We have screeners that are available now to take your call and get you in the queue to speak with the senator and his guests. Again, Senator Anthony H. Williams will be joined by Carol Cunaholm from Fair Districts PA and Philadelphia City Commissioner Omar Sabir to discuss recent changes to the Voting Rights Act of Pennsylvania. If you have a question for Senator Williams, Carol, or City Commissioner Omar Sabir, press zero on your keypad now to submit your question. Again, we are waiting for some of the constituents of the 8th Senatorial District, which covers parts of Southwest and Southwest Philadelphia, as well as a portion of Delaware County, to join us on tonight's hour-long call to discuss changes to the Act 77 Voting Rights Act of Pennsylvania. If you have a question during any point of tonight's call, press zero on your keypad to submit a question. Without further delay, I will welcome State Senator Anthony Williams to kick off the call tonight.
Good evening, all. Thank you so much for that introduction. This is State Senator Anthony Hardy Williams. And I'd like to welcome you to this telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors within the 8th Senatorial District. I want to like to thank everyone who's taking time out of their very busy schedule to participate on tonight's call to protect our democracy and make sure we understand what's happening at the state. Whether you ask a question or just prefer to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. If you do indeed want to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, please press zero on your phone. It is so important that those who live in our community understand what is happening locally. It is equally important to share your thoughts on how our area is changing and how we can become involved. That is the hope, my hope, of our conversation tonight, that we share our ideas and our vision for Philadelphia and how we can work and live together going forward. As Jessica said earlier, tonight we will discuss some of the many changes surrounding the voting rights for the upcoming 2022 primary and general election. There have been several changes since the 2020 election, especially surrounding mail-in ballots and redistricting. So help me on this discussion. For those who are going to help me in this discussion, I'd like to welcome my friends, Carol Cunaholm of Fair Districts, Pennsylvania, as well as our commissioner, Omar Sabir. Welcome, Carol, and welcome, Omar. At various times, as a reminder, I'd like to make sure if you have a question, please press zero on your phone at any time, and that will allow you to connect to one of our representatives that will allow you to patch in and ask your question. Thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Carol and to Omar for opening comments, and then I'm going to follow with my own.
Well, thank you. I'm going to talk briefly. Thank you so much for having me. And this redistricting is a really big deal. What happens right now is going to shape Pennsylvania politics for the next decade. So thanks for having me. Thanks for thinking about this. Thanks for paying attention to this topic. The new Pennsylvania House and Senate maps were created by the Legislative Reapportionment Commission. That's five people, the two majority leaders in House and Senate, the two minority leaders in House and Senate, and a fifth person, the chair, Mark Nordenberg, who is a law professor from the Pittsburgh area. And they completed their work. They had lots of over 6,000 public comments, and I'm sure some on this call were among those who gave comments. So thank you for engaging. They had over 6,000 public comments, lots and lots of map suggestions from people across the Commonwealth, and they put out a preliminary map in early January and then finalized the map on February 4th. So those new districts are in place, but there's a 30-day window for people to appeal to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The Senate map, the districts did not change a lot, but they did change enough to create a more compact map with less split communities, less splits to counties, and a much lower partisan bias. The kind of locked-in partisan bias for the last 30 years has given the GOP several extra seats in any hypothetical 50-50 election. This brings that down much closer to a genuine 50-50 in an election. The House map had a lot of changes and put a number of incumbents into primaries against each other. The result of that is, as of today, there's 28 House districts that are without incumbents, either because people looked at the change in their district and said they didn't want to run again, and there were 11 districts drawn really specifically to create minority opportunity districts. Several of those are in Philly. And in fact, one, Senator Williams, is in your the boundaries of your Senate district. The new Senate House District 188 was created to be a minority opportunity district, and that's in West Philly and has no incumbent. So we're encouraging people to take a look and see where are there new opportunities for new voices to be heard and to really make use of the fact that this is a different map. The House map has, again, far less splits to communities, far more compact, and again, a much lower partisan bias, which is why there's been a lot of outcry from some of the GOP legislators. It went from 15 extra seats in that hypothetical election to 5 extra seats for the GOP with the current map. So that's a pretty significant change. A big win for the House and Senate redistricting process had to do with prison allocation of prison data. So the Census Bureau counts people in the places where they're incarcerated, and Fair Districts PA worked with a number of other organizations to say this is unjust, but it's also against Pennsylvania law that says people are not allowed to be registered to vote in the places where they're incarcerated, and many people who are incarcerated are still allowed to vote, but they can't register to vote in the places of incarceration. So there was a resolution introduced by Representative Joanna McClinton that passed 3-2 with the commission to reallocate people in their home communities. That's a big win for Philadelphia, because about a fourth of people incarcerated in state prisons in Pennsylvania are from the Philly area. So that brings that representation back to the Philly area. It excluded people who are serving life sentences or who will still be incarcerated according to their sentence the next census day in 2030. But that's close to 30,000 people who were reallocated back to their home communities. So that's what's happened with House and Senate districts. The congressional map is a bit of a mess. The legislative process passed a map that Governor Wolf had said he would veto, did it without any support from the Democratic members in either chamber. And as promised, Governor Wolf vetoed it. Then there was a bit of a process with the Commonwealth Court where people who had filed appeals and interveners were allowed to submit maps. So there were 14 maps submitted. There were 2 days of trial in Commonwealth Court. And the Commonwealth Court judge, Judge McCullough, chose the map that had the most partisan bias on behalf of the GOP and made a lengthy recommendation to the Supreme Court to select that map. They will be having a hearing on this Friday, the 18th, and sometime shortly after will be deciding the final congressional map. I am doubtful that they will choose the one that Judge McCullough suggested, simply because that would be, in a sense, going around the governor's veto, and also would be kind of affirming partisan bias, because her decision was basically, you know, partisan bias is proper, and Pennsylvania, by rights, should have a map that favors Republicans. We think that by rights, we should have a map that is as fair as possible and gives everybody an even playing field. So that is still to be decided. One last thing I want to mention is that the legislative process has become increasingly partisan, and as a result, there are bills being pushed through without any Democratic support, and as a result, Governor Wolf is vetoing them. And so our legislative leaders have decided that the way to get around that is with constitutional amendments. There are quite a few constitutional amendments being put forward that should not be constitutional amendments. They should be laws. This is obviously an attempt to get around the governor's veto. And there's two in particular that 36PA is watching. One would create judicial districts. That's a way of kind of getting back at the court for some of the decisions that have tried to rein in a legislative process that's shutting people out. And the other one would create a new commission to draw maps that would put the power very much in the hands of the majority in the House for their own map and in the hands of the Senate for their own map. So we're encouraging people to pay attention to those. And happy to talk more if there's interest. So that's my summary of where we are in redistricting. It's been a bit of a mess. It's been confusing. But I will say that the House and Senate maps that we have are far better than what we had in the past and far more likely to allow a more even distribution of representation in both House and Senate, which might allow some things to get done that folks in Philly might want to see get done. And we also are pretty hopeful about the congressional map. Even the most biased map is far less biased than the map that was passed in 2018. We want to see a map that's as good as the map that was passed in 2012. That was a very biased map. The 2018 map was far, far better, and we're hoping for a map that matches that or exceeds it in terms of partisan fairness and the ability of Pennsylvanians to be heard when they vote for their congressman, but we're still waiting on that map. I will say one other thing. This does impact the primary, and the Supreme Court has put all primary dates on hold while they decide what to do next. And just today, the State Department of State released a proposal that would keep the primary date where it is, but would really shorten the timeline for candidate nomination petitions. So that will be decided sometime in the next week as well. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Kara. I appreciate you and I appreciate Fair Districts for participating tonight and all the work that you all do. Before I go to Commissioner Omar Sabir, I want to do a few things. Be reminded that if you have a question, push 0, and you will be connected with a representative that will allow you to post your question. And we have a significant number of folks in the area who are participating. We're grateful for that. I see one question in particular. What's this call about tonight, Rose? I want to make sure you understand this call is specifically and solely about our voting rights and redistricting. For those who don't know, and I'll remind you, the lines of your districts for your state representative, for your state senator, for your congressman have been redrawn. Every 10 years, you probably remember that the census goes out and counts people. Well, based upon that, they draw the lines for your senators and your state reps. And so there's been some adjustments to the areas which we represent. So we're going to talk about that tonight. And you heard the previous speaker, Carol, speak about how those lines look. So tonight's meeting is specifically about that, as well as the protection of Act 77. If you are a mail-in voter, if you are a person who uses the new mechanism of not having to use absentee ballots, if you desire, frankly, the ability for the flexibility of elections to be maintained, then you'll be interested in this because we talk about no excuse mail-in voting, a 50-day mail-in voting period, permanent mail-in and absentee ballots, 15 more days to register to vote. These are all items that we will discuss tonight and how we need to protect them because, frankly, the Republicans are trying to change that and take those rights back, and they're trying to do it as mentioned before, in this process. So remind yourself tonight is specifically about the redistricting and questions related to that and the maps, what that may look like, as well as also the issue of protecting Act 77 and what the impact is on that. There are some other questions which are being posted tonight. Let me give you my office number because we will not be answering those questions. So there's a question about purchasing a house and some other items. If you desire to ask a constituent-based question that doesn't relate to the subject matter, call my office, 215-492-2980. Again, 215-492-2980, and we'd be happy to respond to questions that are not related to the subject matter tonight. But this is fundamental to your principle of voting and the right to vote and the details as it relates to that. So thank you very much. with that, is Commissioner Omar Sabir on?
Yes.
Commissioner, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Senator. And I must say that I'm a proud constituent. I'm glad that you are my state senator for doing these this town hall information in regards to voting. Again, my name is City Commissioner Omar Sabir. I'm one of three elected officials overseeing Philadelphia Board of Elections of Philadelphia County. We oversee the elections, and we oversee the voter registration for Philadelphia County. So just as simple, you know, if you live in Philadelphia County, I know there's other parts of Delaware County as well, but if you live on the Philadelphia County side, I'm one of three city commissioners. And my number is 215-686-3462, 215-686-3462. And my website is philadelphiavotes.com, philadelphiavotes.com. Carol pretty much covered everything, and I'm pretty sure the Senator is going to cover a lot of things that's coming up in Harrisburg in regards to our vote. I'm just really here just to let everyone know how important it is for us to vote. Primarily the demographic between 18 and 35 is going to take this election off. There's a lot of noise that's surrounding our current elections, and they're trying to discourage people to vote. And so I'm here really to tell everyone that we have to bring the enthusiasm about elections. Oftentimes, from a lot of the outreach that we do, we're still fundamentally having this conversation about whether or not we should vote, where other communities are having conversations about how they can take our right to vote away. The census data has changed. So if Philadelphia County comes out to vote, you know, their influence on elections is crucial and is critical. We just saw the first African-American, I think about 30 years, be elected, who was Lori Dumas, be elected to the Commonwealth Court. And the Commonwealth Court and the Supreme Court, serious business. Philadelphia, you came out and voted. The highest has been since 1997 for district attorneys and controller race in Philadelphia County. And the result of that was having Lori Dumas elected. And she got elected by about 10,000 votes. So, you know, these elections are going to be close. And every 6 months, we have to bring enthusiasm to get our family and our friends out to vote. And if anyone needs any help or any assistance, you know, with how to vote, you know, where to vote at, all the logistical challenges that you may have, please contact our office. We are still accepting vote by mail ballots. So if you still want to vote by mail, we're still taking applications. PhiladelphiaVotes.com. You can get all the information that you need. Or again, call my office at 215-686-3462. So many people passed away for our right to vote, and we have to bring the enthusiasm. We have to bring the noise. When Senator Williams and other legislators are in Harrisburg advocating for us, they need the votes. So we have to produce the votes. The more Philadelphia votes, the more Philadelphia we'll get. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we'll turn to questions. I see Scott from Southwest.
Sure. Scott, you are live.
Hi. Really, I'm out of the area, but I got the call and I thought I'd respond. My question is, why are incarcerated criminals, and let me get this right, they're in jail because they can't live in today's society? I just want to know why they want the right to vote.
All right, Scott, are you from Georgia?
From Southwest Georgia.
I don't know how the heck you got this call, and I'm going to talk to our folks who run this process. But in Pennsylvania, you're not allowed to vote if you're in prison. So thank you very much for your call.
Well, can I jump in here? Because this is something I put quite a lot of time into. There are lots of people who are incarcerated who have not actually been tried. In Pennsylvania, we've got a problem with bail.
So, Carol, let me interrupt your problem. Yeah. We have a limited amount of folks time to talk.
Oh, sorry.
And I would certainly love to entertain it, but he's from a totally different state, And yep. I'm not quite sure that we would persuade him to understand what that's about. So, you know, let's pay attention to folks who are at least in Pennsylvania, if not in Philadelphia, in my district, okay?
Make sure that people do know, though, that the only people in jail, in prison in Pennsylvania who are not allowed to vote are those there with a felony. So there are people with misdemeanors. There are people with probation problems. There are people awaiting trial who are allowed to vote and need to know that they're allowed to vote, and they should be counted in their home community. So that's all I wanted to say.
No, it's because there's a list right in front of me. So, pretrial detention, confined in a penal institution, awaiting trial on charges of a felony, awaiting trial, you're allowed to vote. Wherever convicted of a misdemeanor, you're allowed to vote. If you're released, of course, before the election, you're allowed to vote. If you're halfway house, you're allowed to vote. If you're on probation and released on parole, you're allowed to vote. If you're under house arrest, you're allowed to vote. So for those who have that question, the right in Pennsylvania is that you have the right to vote, especially those folks who are even considered by Scott not worthy of voting. That said, let's turn our attention to Rob. Thank you.
Sure. And just a reminder to folks on the call, if you would like to submit a question and join the conversation, just press 0 to submit your question. And Rob, you are live with the senator.
Yes. I'm going to disagree with Scott as well. I think everyone should be allowed to vote, because it's a slippery slope to start disenfranchising people, and that includes felons too. But in that vein there of voting and enfranchising people, I'm curious of where we are with Senate Bill 59, with ranked choice voting in the state of Pennsylvania. We are super, 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 super divided. And I think ranked choice voting brings people together and creates less cynicism. So I'm really curious of where we are with ranked choice voting.
Rob, of course, I'm excited to talk about it because it's my bill. And for those who don't know what ranked choice voting is, it's not a runoff, because we don't have a runoff, but it ranks the order in which you select a candidate. And it gives you the opportunity to express your opinion across a spectrum of candidates. Right now, it's basically a primary or a general election. The ranked choice voting process has been used in other states quite successfully and draws more people to participate because it gives a broader understanding of a device. Spectrum of opinions. I think it's, in fact, in Chicago. I think that's where they actually how they pick their mayor, from what I can remember. Right now, Rob, it is still stuck in committee, as we know it to be. There is growing attention and pressure, and, you know, folks like yourself writing about it, inquiring about it, Fair District writing about it helps a lot in terms of moving it forward. But right now, we don't necessarily have momentum, but there is some attention drawn to it. But by the way, Rob, do you want to add any other details about why you're excited about it, or details about ranked choice voting, so those who don't understand it can get a little bit more educated? Is Rob still there?
I'm here.
Did you already say it?
Ranked choice voting, it's a system that's used in San Francisco, in Australia. It's used all over the world. And it actually used to be used in a lot of cities in the early 20th century, in the 1900s. And they found that the problem with ranked choice voting is that it enfranchises too many people. It gives minority representation that when the powers that be were as interested in giving minority representation. And so a lot of different cities actually stopped using ranked choice voting. One city that's actually been using ranked choice voting for almost 100 years is Cambridge, Massachusetts. And for all this time, they've always had like a racially diverse city council, even when Cambridge, Massachusetts is a majority white city. But that's just an example. And if we use ranked choice voting in the state of Pennsylvania, in local municipalities, it'd be really beneficial. How ranked choice voting really works, just to put it down, a simple thing is, you know, when you vote, when collectively a big group of people vote, getting the most votes doesn't mean that most people support you. You could win an election with 40% of people voting for you, but that means 60% of people didn't vote for you. And so from day one, the majority of the people are like, I don't like this guy. He's not my mayor. He's not my governor. He's not my president, yada, yada, yada. And so that creates a lot of cynicism, a lot of disillusionment. But with ranked choice voting, you are allowed to choose. You say, hey, this is my first choice. But, you know, I also, this other person's talking about stuff, and I like what they're saying. They're not my top choice, but, hey, if they won, I wouldn't mind. They're my second choice. And so on down the line, third choice, fourth choice, fifth choice. And so you could vote for someone that maybe is a long shot, but, you know, you like him. You got a soft spot for long shot. And so you could vote for them as your first choice, but if they lose, your vote still matters. You're not just throwing away. So that's what ranked choice voting is really about. It allows for everyone's vote to count and not just throw things out. So when your top choice loses, and they then take your second choice and they say, okay, well, what's the second choices? All the people that this guy that lost, what were the second choices? And so they count those second choices. And then then they go so on down the line, and the person with the least amount of support keeps getting disqualified, keeps getting voted off the island, until eventually it gets down to the last spot where the person who wins has to actually get majority support. On day one, they actually have to have more than 50% of people saying, you know what, I support this person. Even if they're not my top choice, I still vouch for them. And so the winner in a ranked choice voting actually means that most people, not just getting the most votes, but most people voted for them. And I think it'd be really revolutionary to use in Pennsylvania politics, local politics, and go up into a national level and cure a lot of the division we have.
So, Rob, thank you for that summary. Appreciate your interest in it. Please stay in contact with me with regard to that, because there are serious challenges to our democracy. But more importantly, this as Rob mentioned, I wouldn't say a revolutionary process, idea so much as it is an extraordinary idea that really does encompass the majority of us and equals the playing field. So it's the fairest method that I've seen in a long time, and I was excited to introduce it, I think, almost 2 years ago in that regard. So thank you, Rob, for those comments. Sarah, in South Philadelphia.
Sarah, you're live. Sarah, are you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can you hear me? Okay, great. I'm here. Okay, good. Thank you very much, Senator Williams, for holding this conference. My question to you is, what, if anything, is being done to encourage the younger generation in reference to voting, the breakdown of the politics, how it affects the government, the different levels, the state, the federal, you know, and the city level? Me, myself, have a 23-year-old and feel like his vote doesn't count. And unfortunately, in South Philadelphia, I have a business in South Philadelphia, and one of the, they call it the lost, land of the lost, Grace Ferry area. A lot of those young people, they don't understand the breakdown of politics. And when I was younger, my mom used to be city committee woman. She was a committee woman for one of the low income housing units, and we were made to vote, you know, when we turned 18. But we also had people out on the street, people door knocking, and people giving out information, qualified people that's giving out information to break down the different governmental sections and what they stand for and how it affects them as a whole.
So you probably are asking the question of the night. How do we get people to be, even though we are opening up more opportunities through Act 77, the possibility of ranked choice voting, there is a certain segment that's not taking advantage of it. But I will tell you, across Philadelphia, the population of voters are younger. So there are a lot of younger voters, but there are certainly significant areas, black and brown areas in particular, that younger voters are not participating because they don't believe it affects them. So there's a few different ways that we're going to have to attack this. Now, be very clear, you know, when I was younger, it was required of us to understand civics in school early in life. Our household reinforced that conversation, and we were in the backdrop of folks who were dying for the right to vote. Well, we've gone a generation from that now, so this generation doesn't have that information. They don't necessarily know the history, and they were not necessarily engaged in it as much. And so there have been a few attempts, you know, through Barack Obama, you know, establishing a relationship within the hip-hop community to participate, and they did. The problem is that they think that that's every 4 years just for president. They don't realize that local government and state government is as important, if not more important, in terms of the daily lives. And the consequence is not going to be you're going to get rich overnight, but the reality is that the laws won't work against you, and in fact, many times they can work in favor of you. So I can only draw attention to judicial reform that we're involved in. If you have a record, you know, then now you have the right to go get a job because of clean slate without reporting that. The fact that we're working on probation reform, the fact that we are fighting for more money for public education, daycare. There's a whole list of things that actually do impact this young generation in terms of the quality of their life. They just don't connect politics with that. And I think, frankly, that's in part because, one, they're not educated by it. So the school system, frankly, has to pick up the bill relative to civic engagement and civic responsibility so they can learn early in life about the impact and the power of the vote and what to expect from it if you do. The second part is the places in which people convene have to become unofficial places of information. So they're not necessarily going to the places that you or maybe, I don't know how old you are, you and I may have gone to get information, but the recreation centers have to become places of civic understanding and information. So if you're going to bounce the basketball, you should at least understand that there's a desire for you to get more information while you're there. Before school and after school programs, all these places that we know young people occupy have to become inundated with the power, not just the right, but the power of the vote. And so from the standpoint of a person like me, you know, certainly I spent a lot of time talking to another generation on corners about this stuff. And frankly, I'm surprised at how much many of them do know, but so many don't. And so certainly I spend time talking to them. But the areas that I'm talking about, supporting those civic responsibilities, so I'm encouraging the state to spend money in those areas with nonprofits that can engage and frankly, intelligently educate them about their power and their right to vote. So I'm glad you brought it up because that is a significant issue for areas that need it more than others. So if you, you know, if you come from a certain area of the city of Philadelphia and it may be a little bit tougher than others, your power to vote equalizes you and can change the quality of life in your community simply because you do vote, and you have the right to vote. So, Sarah, I'm grateful you brought that up tonight. Thank you very much. I see Linda from the 48th Ward.
Sure. And a reminder to folks before we go to Linda, if you do have a question for the senator or any of his guests, please press 0 to submit your question. All you have to do is press 0, and we'll get you on the line to speak with the senator. Linda, you are live.
Good evening, Senator Williams. My name is Linda. I'm sorry, that's the 46th Ward. And my question is, we have a lot of seniors here in our area. We used to vote in the at the Park Pleasant Nursing Home, which our polling place was changed this last election, almost to 49th and Baltimore. We have so many seniors who need a way to get to the polls. Is there any help we can get to get them there?
So, yes, there is. So I'm going to ask you to do this favor in a nonpartisan way so everybody knows it. It's not about voting for a Democrat, a Republican, or me. It's about access to the right and power to vote. So I'm going to ask you to call my office tomorrow, which is 215-492-2980, and we can discuss transportation. If not, in fact, finding out. And Commissioner Sabir is on the line here, so he also may have ideas about what to do about the polling place. But certainly from my office, we can talk about transportation possibilities, organizing with you. Hopefully my office has your number, so we can circle back. But, Commissioner, do you want to add anything to this?
Yes, sure. Due to the pandemic, a lot of the nursing homes didn't want us to have the polling locations there. So it's the landlord's right to say whether or not they want us to use their locations for a polling location. So right about now, we're at about a little over 700 polling locations for the city of Philadelphia. So we have 1,700 voting divisions. And it's a logistical challenge, but, you know, due to the pandemic, you know, a lot of those nursing homes still do not want us to be there. So unfortunately, we have to kind of, you know, shift and juggle some of the polling locations. But we have a public hearing every time we move a place. So if there is another location in that area that you might want to lobby to the board and say, hey, you know, here's a potential location that you can use, you know, please, you know, let us know. And, you know, we'll go out, we'll do an investigation. And there are regulations to polling locations. They have to be handicap accessible. They have to meet ADA requirements. So, you know, just let us know. We are potentially thinking about having a polling location at that may be more accessible for everyone. And then, you know, we'll vote on it as a board. We'll do an investigation. And if it's suitable by law, you know, we'll have that polling location there. But community input is definitely important and crucial to us. And those seniors that can't, you know, make it to the polls, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about voting by mail. You know, so, again, you know, I reach out to the senator's office, and he can reach out to me, and then we definitely can come up with a solution.
And by the way, just so you know, I'm reminding, we are doing seminars, well, not seminars, but educational lessons on how to vote by mail with seniors in those locations. You know, many people are double vaccinated and boosted. They're more comfortable with a mask on coming into those locations. Now, all they need to do is make a request, and we'd be happy to show up. And we'd even be happy to talk to the landlord on behalf of residents if they desire for it to be returned in support of that effort. So just reach out to us tomorrow, and we will certainly follow through. And I thank you for your question. Claudia, you're next.
Great. Claudia,
okay.
You are live.
I was really woken, really wide awake when the young lady said, why a prisoner don't have a right to exercise his right to vote. When he's entitled to it, I think he should be entitled to vote. Years ago, they didn't have as many rules and regulations restricting prisoners from voting. And I have a problem when people feel that you're being punished, but your rights to vote has been taken away from you, because a lot of people who are in jail aren't really guilty of the crime they were convicted. And so I was really upset when I heard what she said. I wasn't going to say anything. I just got on to listen because I'm juggling two different, a Zoom meeting and a call meeting. But I had to say something because we need to be more conscientious of people and people's needs and rights. And I'm talking to anybody, whomever you are. You have to be considerate.
So, Claudia, I want to ask Carol, because she was actually defending and explaining Pennsylvania's laws as it right as it relates to those who've been incarcerated. There was a gentleman earlier, you may not have heard him, Scott, I don't know how you got on here, he's from Georgia, talking about taking away those rights. But, Carol, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still here, yep.
So do you want to jump in and provide, you know, the context that you were trying to provide before?
Yeah, so what I was saying is that we work very hard to say that people who are incarcerated still deserve representation. And by Pennsylvania law, people who have committed felonies are not allowed to vote while they're in prison. As soon as they're released, they're allowed to vote. But there are lots of people in prison who haven't committed felonies and are allowed to vote. And no matter who they are, every person in prison deserves representation, and they deserve representation in the places where they're from, in their home communities. And so we worked really hard to get the Legislative Reapportionment Commission, the commission that draws our House and Senate districts, to change the numbers back to make sure those people were counted in their home communities. And Governor Wolf's office, the Department of Corrections, were certainly partners in that. They worked hard to get that data. The Census Bureau, we've petitioned the Census Bureau, and other groups have petitioned for years to say you should be counting people in their home communities. The Census Bureau continues to count people where they're incarcerated, but has said, you know, if states want to do it differently, they're welcome to do it, but the Census Bureau is not going to do it for them. So Governor Wolf instructed the Department of State to count people on Census Day in their home communities in the event that the commission would allow that data to be reallocated to bring that representation home. And that's what happened, is for most people that representation came home to their home communities, which we think is a big win. And I absolutely agree with you. Every person, no matter whether they're incarcerated or not, whether they're guilty or not, they serve their time, and they're still people, and they still deserve respect. and still deserve representation. And so that was a win, not a huge win, but definitely a win for Philadelphia and for anybody who has been incarcerated or has loved ones who are incarcerated. And I certainly am one of those who have had loved ones who are incarcerated.
Thank you, Carol. And thank you, Claudia, for your call. I appreciate that. Lisa, you're next.
And a reminder to folks, if you do want to submit a question, you can press zero if you're on the phone line. If you are listening in through the web, you can submit it through the web portal, and we will be able to read it to the senator and his guests. So zero for the phone line, and type it in the chat if you are on the web. And Lisa, you are now live.
Hi, I'm Lisa, and my question was, if you could have the government as a course that is required in high school to teach about voting and how your vote counts and what your vote means, and even if you're voting in a local or federal vote, that your vote counts. And now that Mr. Trump got on television saying how corrupt voting is, it's going to be even harder to get young people to vote when they allow on TV for him to say that it was corrupt. And even when they did the recount for Arizona, and it was proved that he did not win Arizona, he got on television to say that the count was corrupt. Everything was corrupt for him. And even when he beat Hillary Clinton, he tried to say that it was corrupt. And it's very hard when someone in the capacity and the money that he has, it discourages people because that would make them think that their vote doesn't count.
So, Lisa, I don't really want to comment on him because I don't want to sound like I'm in a partisan debate, but I will tell you that everything you said I agree with about our former president, especially the fact that he's a former president. But I want to say this. We don't have a representative from the school district on here tonight, and it would probably be a interesting comment if they were able to fill it in. I don't know what that response would be, but certainly we believe that some form of curriculum as it relates to educating a generation that needs to know the impact of government and the process of electing people to government is pretty important. So I agree with you, and you know, I will pass that along to the school district to see what they say. I understand school districts draw up their own curriculum independent of politics, independent of politicians, as they should, but we certainly can pass on suggestions. I think that's a pretty important one as you speak. So that being said, thank you so much for your call. And up next is Tracy. Tracy, are you in the 54th ward?
Offhand, because I've had some difficulties. I just got out the hospital. But what I wanted to know is, could I have your number so I could call you? Because I have an issue that it doesn't have to do with voting, but it does have to do with where I live and the quality of life. So would I be able to contact your office?
I'll give you my number now. It's 215-492-2980. Got it?
And I will be getting in touch with you. And even if the school district would consider that, I would even volunteer my time to try to help make a curriculum, because I believe that knowledge is power. And the more knowledge that you get, the more power you're going to get behind that vote.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you. Tracy, you're up next.
Tracy, you are live.
How you doing, Mr. Williams, Senator? I'm from the 51st Ward. I'm not far from you, and I met you one time at the polling at Longstreth. And at that time, I was a committee woman for 8 years underneath Ms. Miller. And what I noticed about our vote, 51st Ward, 27th Division,
Yeah, I got you.
And I had met you a couple times. And what I know, you had came one day to the polling, and they were so excited. And I stepped back, and I listened. And they said, and I listened to the people, they said if more would come out and meet us, we would be more anxious to get out and vote. What if they come and knock on the doors and talk and get to, you know us? Right. We would have more incentive to come out to vote. They were so ecstatic to see you that day. You just don't even know that. They were so ecstatic.
And I'm ecstatic to see them. So let me tell you that part, because as many people say they love to see me, there's a bunch of people who say, well, I never see you. And that's probably true, because people don't quite understand. I represent 260,000 people and across Philadelphia and Delaware County, and I can't get to every polling place. I can't get to every meeting. But what I do is when you call, Tracy, or other people call and say there's a meeting or there's an event I want you to be at, I try my best to be there. And I do agree with you. The more people see the folks who are elected in government, the more, it's not even if you solve all the problems, they just want to feel connected to you. So I understand exactly what you're saying, and I appreciate the fact that they were, you know, uplifted a little bit by me being there. And I will tell you that, you know, if you asking me to come to a certain place, again, my office number is 215-492-2980. Most of the time, I will tell you 60% of the battle is just answering a question. When people just want to ask you a question, and they want to get a straight answer, an honest answer, that comes from the community. So I totally understand what you're saying, but I also have to be honest, because it's such a large area, you don't necessarily get to be every place you want to be, but that doesn't mean that I can't try to be, especially if somebody's asking me to be there. And I really do appreciate, you know, the support I've gotten from that community over the years, and yours in particular, and the neighbors from that community. So call me back. I'll be happy to show up. Okay. Take care now.
Thank you.
Bye. All right. We have next Roxanne Harris.
Great. Roxanne, you're live.
Hello, yes, I'm on. Good evening. I'm from Delaware County. Originally, I was from the 51st Ward also. And what I was recapping on, what you said about the voting and the school's influence,
yeah.
I had the option last year. My grandson was here working because of the pandemic. And I heard some of the lessons. And at this time, they explained to the kids about voting, delegates. They never told them who to vote for, different, you know, words and what they meant. And some of the kids know a lot already because they learned from home. But my grandson picked up a lot from this. He, you know, he learned about other people from way back, like Martin Luther King, the walks and so forth. So I think the longer, they gave them about a week of learning, but I think the younger you start instilling these words and stuff, that the better they'll get, and they won't say their vote means nothing. Right. There was a kid, they were in third graders, and there was one guy, I don't know who he was, but he wrote boycott. I'm thinking, where'd he learn this? But I think the school there, he was at West Philadelphia Charter School. They taught him a whole lot. Right. And it was my first time learning what he was learning. And as a matter of fact, not only did he learn something from it, I did also.
Good. So what part of Delaware County are you in?
I'm in Yeadon, Delaware County, but my grandson is in West Philadelphia.
Okay.
But so, he came here to do the Zoom calls.
Okay, well, good. So I'll tell this. So, again, this is an opportunity to pass on a suggestion to the school district as well, and I certainly will make sure that that's recorded. There's a board meeting coming up, I think, on the 25th. I'm not sure the date. I'll be there because on another issue, and I'll be happy to bring this up because I think that, you know, your point is valid. And, frankly, it's a valid across a broad spectrum of information that many of us who've been in the fight for democracy are missing the fact that young generations were a part of it. We forget the 60s when it really was college students and teenagers who were either protesting the war and changing the vote or protesting in terms of the right to vote. There were black and brown young people who did that, and they did that because they were raised with an understanding of the power of the vote. So, Roxanne, I thank you for your call, and I appreciate your grandson's wisdom, insight, and participation. I look forward to him one day either being CEO of a large company or being President of the United States, one of the two. God bless you both, okay? Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Glenn, you're up next.
Great. And just a reminder to folks, we have about 10 minutes left, so if you do have any questions that you'd like to get in with.
Wait a minute. Before you apologize, I see Glenn's question is not related to voting. So, Glenn, this is a conversation tonight specifically about voting, the protection of the right to vote, the district, how it's drawn, and questions related to that. I see your question relates to some other issues, which are very serious. And I encourage you to call my office at 215-492-2980. Again, 215-492-2980 to discuss those issues because they are very important and they relate to some form of crime in that particular section of my district. And I look forward to you reaching out to me tomorrow at some point in time. So before we get closed out, Commissioner and Carol, I want to make sure you have an opportunity to put other information on the table that you may not have had an opportunity to talk about tonight. We've had a robust conversation, and I love the fact that so many of you all got on to listen to this, because this is not necessarily what people get excited about, but it is tremendously important in terms of protecting our right to represent ourselves, as opposed to what was mentioned before, the previous president wanted to decide for us. And so this is where the rubber meets the road in terms of that. So first, let me turn to the commissioner for any closing comments he might want to make, and then Carol, we'll turn it over to you.
Yes, sure. I'm so excited that everyone is talking about bringing civics into schools. Number one, civics is on the curriculum, but what our office has done, we partnered up with the Urban League, PAUFOLT, NAACP, National Action Network. And this is all part of the Octavia Scotto Initiative. And this is the Black History Citywide School Tour. And we help reinvigorate youth engagement in civic and civil service through voter engagement and participation. So right now we're going to every school in the school district. We're starting off with the high schools, and we're doing visits in person and virtually. So if you want us to come to a school in your neighborhood, if you have a relationship, like with the principal or like a teacher, and you want our office to stop at the schools, please call our office at 215-686-3462, and we're registering students on site to vote, and we're also recruiting students as poll workers, because you can be 17 years old and be a poll worker. So the average age of a poll worker is 60 years old. So we have been recruiting student workers. You can be 17. And you can work on the polls as machine operators. So in the 2020 election, we recruited about 500 youth workers. Our goal this election cycle is to recruit 1,000 poll workers to work. So, again, if you want more information about our school tour, please let us know, 215-686-3462, or you always can reach out to Senator Williams' office. I'll make sure you add information as well. And remember, the more we vote, the more we get. Right now, we just need enthusiasm to combat the disinformation, the foolishness that's going on inside our community about voting. And, you know, when I was growing up, my father basically just almost just grabbed me and took me to the polls. And I think that's what we have to do with a lot of our youth now. We're having too many debates about to vote or not to vote. We just got to call them, make sure they're there. We call them 8 times between each election cycle. There's a 70% chance that they're going to participate in the election process, and that's a phone call, a text, or email. Again, if there's anything I could do, please let my office know. And thank you, Senator, again, for having this town hall about voting. And if there's anything I could do, please, for your constituents, let our office know.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner, for making yourself available. Carol, our friend from Fair Districts, you're up next for closing comments.
Yeah, so I would say this is an incredibly important election for the state of Pennsylvania. It's the first time in decades that we have a governor, an open governor's seat, as well as an open U.S. Senate seat, as well as half of our Senate PA Senate seats and all of our PA House seats. And as I said, there's 28 seats that right now don't have incumbents. So it's a really big year, a really important year. And what happens will shape Pennsylvania politics for the next decade at least. And I think it's really important. I really appreciate the comments about helping younger people see why this matters, because as somebody said, you know, a lot of times they think, oh, it's the presidential election, that's all that matters. So, you know, there's not another one of those for a couple of years, so why bother? And I think if we can help younger people understand that things like, you know, prison policy, things like school funding, things like affordable housing, minimum wage, all, you know, whenever those things come up, I think it's important to say those things are being decided in our state legislature, and they might not be decided the way you want because we didn't vote. And so I think it's really important to help people connect the policies that impact our lives every single day, the funding that affects our schools every single day, and tie that back to what happens in our state government in Harrisburg. And I agree completely with the idea that we need to really encourage folks to ask them, are you registered to vote? And if not, why not? You can register online. There's no reason not to get registered right now. I encourage everybody that I know to get registered, and I continue to bother them until they are registered. Then I start asking them, do you have a plan to vote? And I will say, sometimes people say, well, I don't even know who's running. Vote411 is a platform the League of Women Voters provides. Once we get closer to the election, it will have information about every position that's available and some information about the people who are running. So when people are wondering how do they make a plan to vote, point them towards Vote 411 and tell them to take a look, find out who's running in your district, and make a plan to vote. Because if people don't plan to vote, they're not going to vote. And if they don't know how to find the information they need, they might not vote either. So point people towards Vote 411. But this is a really important election, and I totally agree. We need to do whatever we can to get folks out to vote.
Carol,
thank you.
Thank you. Carol, thank you so much for participating tonight and making sure fair districts continue their work to make sure we have equal and solid representation. For those who are on tonight, Carol just mentioned something that made my ears perk up. If any of you have grandchildren, children, or yourself, you know, find yourself on an hourly job that doesn't necessarily pay enough money, right now we are debating whether we increase the minimum wage. We've been debating it for the past 15 years. And the reality is that the governor had to make it happen for those who are state workers and for a few others. So I want us to understand there is power in the vote. And by the way, for all those youngsters who say it doesn't matter, if they work at McDonald's, it sure as heck does matter. Because the reality is, if that's your summer job, or if you're a lifeguard or something like that, you probably are getting whatever the minimum wage is or a little bit above. If we're able to increase it to the level that we want to increase it, then frankly, you get to take home more money, contribute to either college education, groceries, whatever you want to wear, whatever it is. But the minimum wage is amongst several items. A woman's right to choose will probably be a part of that conversation as well. So there's a lot of things that we're doing in terms of this vote. Again, the governor of Pennsylvania that we have right now vetoes a lot of the things that would reduce our ability for the right to vote. Act 77, which I mentioned before, easy access to mail-in voting. No excuse mail-in voting. 50-day mail-in voting period. Permanent mail-in and absentee ballot list. 15 more days to register to vote. Extends mail-in and absentee submission deadlines. Those are all things that came under Act 77 that we are debating right now, and that the General Assembly is trying to remove. And so the right to vote and who you want to represent you is very important and significant. And I will tell you this, it is the only thing that makes us all equal in this country. Not income, not race, not where you live, not who you worship, not who you're married to. The only thing that makes us totally equal is our power and our right to vote. So we need to fight and protect it. Thank you so much for this solid representation from the 8th Senatorial District to talk about it. Please continue to use my office, 215-492-2980, for those issues we were not able to discuss tonight. And for those who want to continue this conversation, please feel free to connect myself. I also will direct you to the commissioner's office and the fair districts if you want to participate in either one of those areas, either with questions or volunteers. I encourage you to do something in that space as well. And with that, I'll turn it back over to our moderator, who I believe will close us out for this evening.
Yes, thank you everyone for participating. Again, if you didn't have a chance to ask a question, you can remain on the line to leave a voicemail. We appreciate everybody that joined us, including the senator's guest and the senator himself. I hope everyone has a great night, and thank you again for participating.